Greetings, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here and to share a little bit of my culture. I come from the Bahamas, and what I'm going to share with you today is a typical, a little bit of a history of the Bahamas and the background on it where Christmas is concerned, and also what is a typically a traditional type Christmas there, what we experience. Very similar to here in some aspects, gift giving and food, merriment, and all of this type of thing. But because of our history, being a British colony, and also our ties to West Africa, which I thought was rather interesting since we have such a large group here, I thought I would share perhaps our most central focus in Christmas in the Bahamas, which focuses around something called Junkanoo. And this Junkanoo is thought to come from an individual from West Africa, thought to be a West African king, John Canoe. And so this name has stuck with our culture and has become the central theme. Tourists come from all around the year to the Bahamas. Large numbers flock at Christmas time to the Bahamas because we have this Junkanoo festival. And it's very similar to what you would see in Rio, Brazil. And it goes on twice per year. Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas, we host the festival in the streets, just like Rio. And then again, we do it on New Year's morning once again. So you have to have your energy. You have to be fully rested. And it's all out nonstop in the streets, Rio-type carnival. And this goes on those 2 days. But typically, the most one and centrally focused one is the one on Boxing Day, which is the 26th of December, the day after Christmas. What typically happens in the Bahamas is that tourists flock in. There's nowhere in the place to stay. All the hotels are full, and people are excited and geared up for it. We typically begin our celebrations on Christmas Day, much as we do here, with a service. And after the service, people go home and eat their Christmas dinner. I will mention some of the foods and things that we eat. And after that, we tend to have, we come back in the afternoon at most churches, and they do caroling, Christmas caroling, all around the neighborhood. And this continues into your local neighborhood. This is a big part of Christmas there, and the kids take part and go around Christmas caroling on this day. And then we come back and eat. And of course, after the Christmas service, we open up all our presents, as I'm sure most of the kids here do as well. So we open the gifts, we open the presents, we have a lot of family time. And then you rest up, literally go to bed, if you could believe this, and sleep, because you have to jump up in this festival, this Junkanoo, for the whole night. It goes into the streets from around 10, and it continues right through until the following morning at about 10 o'clock when the judges judge the festival. Let me give you a little history on what's up with this Junkanoo, because everything in Christmas in the Bahamas focuses around that Junkanoo. As I mentioned, it comes from West Africa. And typically, some of you may notice, I've been to this place, when I travel to Ghana on some of my business trips, there's a castle there in Ghana, and it's called Elmina Castle. When you go to this castle, it is the quarters and one of the last vestiges left in Africa where you can physically visit, where slaves were quartered and housed before being shipped to the New World. Let me tell you, it's a heck of an experience. You go in these little cells, you're cramped up, you can still smell the flesh and the human stench from slavery. They filth, all that kind of stuff. They didn't have bathrooms, everything. The slaves were quartered and packed and housed there before they were put onto ships to be shipped out of Ghana on the Gold Coast and then taken to my country in the Bahamas. As a matter of fact, the Bahamas has a unique history with Ghana because of the slave trade. Most of the population indigenous to the Bahamas comes from West Africa and bears features and look like people from Ghana. You will see this upon arrival. And they carried, of course, lots of the tradition from Africa through the slave passage. Elmina Castle was perhaps one of the most central stations along the transatlantic slave route. So actually, perhaps the largest number of slaves taken to the New World were taken from this area in Ghana on the Gold Coast into Africa, from Africa and into my country. And so they brought with them their foods, their traditions, and this Junkanoo festival through John Canoe, the West African king. And we have kept this tradition, and we pass it down to our young, and we take the tradition now, which is fully entrenched in the culture, and which now serves as a tourist draw to draw in tourists from all around the world. So what exactly is this Junkanoo? You're jumping in the streets like Rio Carnival for the 2 days straight, and there are groups, various groups that are competing for prize money within this festival. The Valley Boys, the Saxons, the Music Makers, Roots, which is a group that goes back to African history. All of the costumes and pieces have a theme for the year, and all the pieces have, you spend the entire year making it. So as soon as you finish one Junkanoo, you have to start making the costumes for the next junk canoe because they're elaborate. Some of these pieces require 2 to 3 men to go under them and lift them. And you're carrying this thing for 2 days. So you can imagine what type of preparation. You have to be in shape. You have to be physically fit. They are made from cardboard, so they're very light. They have various wire mesh tied in there and crepe paper that's cut up and put around the costume, and it's cut out in the shape of whatever that item is that the theme predicts. So let's say they're doing a theme on slavery, or they're doing a theme on foods of the Bahamas, or whatever it may be. All of the costumes will be around that theme, and some people will wear individual pieces that have this thing made that they're jumping up and down in with some type of food, maybe crawfish, lobster, whatever it is that they're portraying for Bahamian foods that in that theme. And then another group that's competing may have a different theme on roots and have actual African costumes from Ghana and all these different traditional things that each piece must reflect to carry that theme. And the judges judge this. You're judged on your music. You're judged on the theme of the music. You're judged on the timing of the music, meaning you have to keep this up for a certain period of time. The energy has to be brought in front of the judges for at least half an hour nonstop. After that, you can recover, and on the rest of the route that's laid out by Barricade, you can kind of catch your breath and enjoy the festivities. But once you get in front of the judges, you really have to turn it on. And what is it that they're doing? They're blowing cowbells and whistles and goatskin drums. They take the skin of a goat and they stretch it over a drum, and they put fire on the inside of the drum to heat it. And this brings out the resonance of the drum so that when they beat it and there's hundreds of them drumming, the tourists, you literally feel like the drums are inside your chest. This thing is heart throbbing. I can't even describe it to you. I mean, it blows the tourist's mind. It's literally, you feel like a tribe of warriors are coming, and you can hear this thing from, you can probably hear it from Miami. It's that loud. And this music is going on. These drums are beating, and they're beating this goatskin drum and blowing the whistles and the cowbells and the horns and the bugles. And this makes up the core of the music to which the parades jump up and down in the street to. Now, this whole thing is going on in an ordered fashion by police and barricades and bleachers. Some of the bleachers you have to pay to actually sit there. And in some places, it's so much people and so many millions of people from all around the world that they're literally just standing in every crack and crevice that they can find so that they can watch what's going on below. We would typically use the church building as our vantage point because it had a high steeple and a very flat porch that we could look out over onto the festival below. And we would, because my father was pastor at that church, we had access to, we'd actually open up the church and let people sit there and look down at the festival for the entire night, so we didn't have to literally jump up and stand up, because you're standing for hours. And you're watching this parade go by. The judges are judging them on their musicality, their theme, how long they beat, and how strong the music is, and how loud the drums are coming through. So you really have to bring it when you get in front of the judges. After that, they're all exhausted, and they're just kind of regrouping as they go back around, and then you do it again. Every time you pass the judges, you bring it again for another 30 minutes, and this is the way it's judged. And then they give out this judging the following morning at about 10 o'clock in the morning. So you literally have to keep this up from 11 o'clock at night, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right through till 10 the next morning. And you're jumping up and dancing the whole time. And so are the tourists. The tourists are in there doing their thing as well. So it's a madness and a chaos that's going around this junk canoe. And the typical foods that you will see at Christmas in the Bahamas, aside from the parade, includes things like rock lobster, which many of you are familiar with. We eat a lot of that. We eat a lot of conch. This is a local native dish that is served up like a ceviche style with various condiments, pepper, green pepper, conch. They put some citrus over it and pour it on there to, through a process of denaturation, it actually breaks down the meat so that you're actually not having to worry about being infected or because it's not cooked. It's an uncooked ceviche, conch. And this is our natural native dish. And we eat it in various forms. You can have conch chowder. Some of you know that. I mean, a lot of restaurants serve it. You can have the conch grilled. You can have it bruised. You can have it cracked conch, which is the local way that is taken most often. This is a fried conch. So they fry the conch in a batter, and then you eat it in the cracked conch form, fried. You can also scorch the conch. Now, how is that done? The conch is put inside a tin foil, and that foil is then boiled over a raw naked flame. It tastes amazing. And all of the trapped ingredients from all the different condiments that are put into the foil are trapped in there and then heated, and that gives the flavor to the conch. And this is called scorched conch. So this is one of the most, if you go to the Bahamas, those of you that make it there, you will see that this is perhaps the central focus around everything in the Bahamas. We have a fish fry where we eat various fish, yellowtail, snapper, grunt, grouper, a whole host of fishes that we cook, and these are fried fish, and they serve this conch at this place as well. So you'll see that a lot of our culture, because we're around the water and the ocean, dwells around fish. And so our whole Christmas focus involves eating lots of fish. On top of this, they eat a lot of fried rice and peas, macaroni and cheese. These are all typical Bahamian things that you would see on a table. You'll notice that they eat quite a bit of food from the ground, sweet potato, yams, cassava, various grown product from the earth. We eat a lot of that, and we grow it and export it as well. And then we export a lot of fishes, crawfish, lobster. These are sent to the U.S. for the hotels. This is a big part of our industry in the Bahamas because of the fishing there. So our culture focuses around those foods. I will also mention there's Christmas puddings, Christmas cake. They put these cakes in rum. And we're not Christians, we're not supposed to be drinking, but believe me, this cake is laced. Christmas cake is very amazing, but it's soaked in the rum, and this is it, the cake literally tastes like it's come alive, believe me. And this thing has a kick to it. Many of the Caribbean islands also do this rum cake concept. Jamaica, Mrs. Bramble knows what I'm talking about. We eat a lot of rum cake at Christmas. It's only done at Christmas. We eat guava duff in the Bahamas. They take a guava fruit and make this dish called guava duff. It's in a specific sauce. It's actually put into a custard sauce with rum as well. They love this rum thing. And you may wonder, why is that? We have a Bacardi factory in the Bahamas. The Bacardi family fled Cuba under Castro and brought one of the plants to the Bahamas. So we actually produce a lot of the rum that comes here to the United States. A very large factory there. And that is why we have so much rum in our rum punches, our Bahama Mamas. Some of you know all these drinks that you may have heard of. The Miami Vices. We do a lot of tropical drinks in the Bahamas. And we use rum as a base because of the Bacardi factory. We literally put every type of rum there is in some of these products. You will also do a thing. There's a thing called Christmas bun that we eat only at Christmas time. Macaroni and cheese, cranberry, all the other foods you eat here, like turkey, ham, and all that, we do that as well. Other local dishes include foods that came from the West African history, because we're tied to them through this slave transatlantic slave passage. Pig's feet souse. The slaves would eat this. These were the leftovers from the master's table. That's how this whole thing formed. And what would happen was, they call it Boxing Day, the 26th, the day after Christmas, because in the history of the Bahamas and West Africa, those were the days that the slaves were given a free day from labor. They didn't have to pick cotton. They didn't have to do whatever they were doing. The masters would let them free on Boxing Day, and they called it Boxing Day because they would give them a box of food with all of these various leftovers that the master had received as his gifts, and they would give it to the slaves on their free day off and let them have this celebration, this Junkanoo parade, that they would then traditionally over time grew and was commercialized. So Boxing Day comes from these boxes that were given by the master to the slaves with various leftover foods, including the pig's feet, the chicken souse, the sheep tongue souse, the actual tongue of a sheep. They would cut the sheep out of the tongue and make a souse around that. So it's called sheep tongue souse. We eat that in the Bahamas at Christmas. Oxtail souse is another one that we eat. And all of these come from West Africa, from that tradition. And the pig's feet and the other foods that may sound crazy, but they're amazingly delicious, trust me. Rock lobster, crayfish, Bahamas. We eat a lot of barracuda in the Bahamas. Some cultures don't do that, but we do. And we eat a lot of bonefish in shallow water. So that's also typical at Christmas. Grunt, hogtail, squirrelfish, dolphin, and mahi-mahi. We eat all those as well. I mentioned some of those. Other typical foods, I'll wrap up real quick, that you see at this time, is something called Johnny Cake, which is unique to the Bahamas. It's a type of bread. It's in a special flour, and you eat it with soups, like the conch. Chowder, for example. And you'll see it alongside any souse dish, chicken souse, pig's feet souse, whatever. They have this special bread that tastes really good called Johnny Cake. And they eat that at Christmas time as well, along with the pigeon peas and a lot of the other side dishes. The Christmas Day service is a big one in the Bahamas. It has a large turnout. Most people go home and open their gifts after that, as I mentioned before. And then after that, when they finish with the Junkanoo, and the prizes are given out and the judges award, everybody goes home to sleep. The whole town is like a ghost town. I mean, if you wanted to invade the Bahamas, that would be the time to come. Everyone's either, the people are either drunk, knocked out, tired and exhausted from jumping, but I can assure you not a single soul, including the tourists, are on the street. So if you wanted to take over the Bahamas, that would be your strategic moment to come in with your troops, because the entire country is dead. Okay, trust me on that. Because you've been jumping for 2 days, it's all over. Everyone is jumping in the streets. This is another concept that you will notice. No matter what your rank, station, color, race, strata in the social society,
the prime minister of the country, the government, the doctors, the lawyers, the CPAs, the maids, the merchants, the taxi drivers, whatever level you are in the Bahamas, you're all jumping up beside one another in the streets during this festival. No one cares about that. You will literally see the prime minister out there with his cowbells, and it blows your mind. People like, this is your prime minister? And the person is out there carrying on, and next to him is a lawyer, next to him is a maid, next to him is a taxi driver. Nobody cares. It's just total enjoyment and merriment at Christmas time with this festival. And the tradition is taught to the young so that it doesn't die out. So we actually teach them the music, teach them the drumming, teach them how to make the costumes and how to continue the tradition. Because when we became independent in 1973, we wanted that tradition to remain even though we broke away from Britain. So we got our independence in 1973. We left the British colony and became an independent sovereign nation of the Bahamas in 1973. Our first Prime Minister, Lyndon Pindling, wanted to ensure that the Bahamian people would continue the tradition and cultures of Africa and that this junk canoe would remain a central part of the culture. And from that moment on, they made sure to teach the young the traditions of junk canoe coming from Ghana and the Gold Coast of Africa. I hope this shares a bit with you on what typically happens in the Bahamas. I hope and pray that for many of you, this will hit your bucket list of things to do. And I also hope that this... I also hope that as some of you in this church have gone with us to the Bahamas, David Box in particular had experienced some of these foods, I hope and pray that you all make an effort to squeeze in a trip to the Bahamas and hopefully at Christmas time so that you can experience what it is that I've described to you. Thank you very much.